Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we can spend together. I just pray that you would be with Emma, with the words of her mouth, Lord. I pray that the things that you taught her this past week, or as she's been studying for this, Lord, that you would bring the things to mind that she has to say. Lord, I pray for us that are listening, Lord, that we would be ready and willing to receive the encouragement and instruction of how we can just grow in this area of being industrious with our life. In your name I pray. Amen.
I would have practiced this more if I was feeling better this week, but I was not feeling good this week. Okay, good morning. In January, I started my colors program in downtown Minneapolis at Jute. I worked there 40 hours a week, not including the 45-minute commute. On top of that schedule, I would do horse chores once a week out of each month, and actually 3 weeks during January. I would do these very, very early and very late. I also had a teaching studio of about 20 to 25 students. All this added up to about 74 hours in a work week. Monday, I would teach almost solid, from 6:45 in the morning till 8 p.m. at night, with a little morning break at 7:15 to rush over and do horse chores, and then again at 8:30 at night. Tuesday through Saturday, I would get up, pack lunch, get ready for my professional job, but throw on snow boots, sweatpants, a sweatshirt, and gloves, and rush over to about 7 a.m. to do horse chores. Would then strip out of the winter clothes, throw on some heels, fix my hair, and head to Minneapolis for my 9-to-5 salon training job. At 5 p.m., I would leave, rushing to get home to teach by 6. If I got home without traffic, I had a little time to eat. I would then teach from 6 to 8 or 8:30 every night, then rushing over to do horse chores. On the weekends, to pick up some extra work, I would often babysit for a number of families in the neighborhood, with the understanding that sometimes I would bring them to my horse farm job. I would also take haircuts for clients. All this happened at the same time I was phone dating my fiance, who lived in Duluth, and planning a wedding. This was my normal. I was almost always making money. Then I was asked, "Emma, would you like to do the Women's Titus Together on Industrious?" I couldn't think of anyone more qualified. I know she prayed, but I'm going to pray one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, please use my words to influence well. Please help them to be grounded in your truth and help them to push people to see ways that they can be creative and industrious in the seasons that they are in. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Diving into the meaning and application of this passage, I see a three-part outline, which is on your pages, so you can take notes. Her evaluation, her merchandise, and her efforts. Her evaluation. What is she perceiving? She is perceiving that her merchandise is profitable, or in the King James Version, it uses the word good. To perceive something means to become aware, conscious of something, to realize or understand. Another way it's described is to interpret or regard in a particular way. This seems pretty self-explanatory until I tell you that it's the same Hebrew word used in Psalm 34:8, except in this verse, it's interpreted as taste. This verse is taste and see that the Lord is good. This is incredible to compare to Proverbs 31:18. She tasted that her merchandise is good. Did you know that there are many describing words to the word good? It's not as boring as I originally thought. The Bible definition of good is having moral qualities best adapted to its design and use, or the qualities which God's law requires. Virtuous, pious, religious, applied to persons and opposed to bad, wicked, and evil. Its describing words are proper, fit, convenient, seasonable, well adapted to the end, sound, perfect, uncorrupted, undamaged, wholesome, suited, beneficial, healthy, pleasant, full, complete, the best, rich, abundant. I thought that was a lot of describing words to describe good in the Bible. I don't think we truly grasp what it means when God calls something good. The Hebrew word for good is used in many Bible verses, approximately 271 times in the Old Testament. To understand what God sees as good, we need to read his word. Psalm 14:1-3. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They all have turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. So here we see that good would imply those who understand and seek after God. Psalm 25, 8 through 15. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him he will instruct in his way that he shall choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. So then here I see there is a way to walk, and there is a way not to walk. He teaches the sinners, the humble, those who follow and abide in well-being, his children will inherit. The Lord offers friendship to those who fear him, whose eyes are on him. And lastly, he provides a way of escape, and God calls all of this good. Here's some other verses. They're all in Psalms, except the very last one. So if on your page you just want to write Psalm, and then the ones that you like, you can just write the chapters. Okay, so Psalm 36, 1 through 4. In this one, God says that the wicked do not fear God. He is flattered by himself. He ceases to act wisely and does not reject evil. And then this is called not good. In Psalm 84, 10, it is said that the day in God's court is better or good. Dwelling with God is good. In Psalm 104, 28, we receive the Lord's gifts. They are good things. In Psalm 107, 9, he satisfies longing and hungry souls with good things. In Psalm 112, 5, it is well with the man who is generous and just. It is good with that man. Psalm 119, 68, you are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. We need to be taught by the one who is good. Verse 71 says that it is good that I was afflicted, that I may learn. Verse 72 says, the law of his mouth is better than thousands of gold and silver pieces. It is valuable, but not only that, it is better, and that word better is interpreted as good. In Psalm 147, 1, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. Pleasant and fitting are used to describe the goodness of praising God. Lamentations 3:25 through 27 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bears his yoke in his youth. In conclusion, God calls all things pertaining to life and godliness good. And our application is that we can partake in this true knowledge through this, through the true knowledge of him who bestowed it, 2 Peter 1:3. But it doesn't stop at knowledge. I think of the parable of the 10 talents in Matthew 25, 14 through 29. We are called to be faithful in the things that the Lord gives us. The gift of knowledge without works is dead. In different seasons of life, the Lord may give us different number of talents. In those seasons, we are called to be faithful in little and faithful in much. For from the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hands comes back to him. That's Proverbs 12, 14. The Lord promises that he will enter the joy, that we will enter the joy of our master, as we taste and see that the Lord is good. Her merchandise. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. My mom advised me to come up with some personal examples or stories of how the Lord has revealed his talents and gifts to me and how he's blessed me through these investments I have made. I have 6 examples of the gifts that the Lord has given me. This felt very, very uncomfortable for me, but I couldn't figure out what to put in this passage. Mom's like, just give some examples. I was like, hey. Number 1, piano. From a young age, my mom has put me in piano lessons. I've used this gift in past years to teach other students how to play. These efforts have blessed me financially with some income, and spiritually, as the Lord has brought opportunities to foster young relationships with unbelievers and believers. It has also helped me to become more confident in communicating with parents of children and showing grace where needed. On top of this, I also use these skills to play for worship team and do special performances for those living in nursing homes or assisted livings. My friends and I have even put on a Christmas program for a small church as a Christmas blessing. I wrote a script with Zach Melhoff, and we composed a Christmas program outlining the miracle of Jesus' birth. From the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hands comes back to him, Proverbs 12:14. Number two, acting. I have grown to love acting from a young age and continue to act in musicals and plays. This provoked many conversations about Christ, as they would ask why I wouldn't come to rehearsals on Sunday mornings. The director saw my attention to detail and would praise me for my acting. It brought conversations with different kinds of people about Jesus and what I believe. Most of the culture in acting is very liberal, so seeing a Christian build relationships with those who didn't believe the same shined a good light on Christianity. On top of this, I have been able to use this skill alongside my mom to direct homeschool programs that share the gospel and provide growth for children in their love for Jesus. Number three, business school. I went to Hennepin Technical College when I was still in high school and got my degree in small business operations entrepreneurship. This was completely free because I did it as a PSEO student. And since it was all online due to COVID, I continued to work at the same time. A lot of my friends went to four-year colleges, not because they knew what they wanted, but because they wanted the college experience. This was an abstract concept for me, as I was trained by my parents to be intentional with my money and the investments that I make. While I was in school, professors would praise me for my faithfulness and diligence in my work. One time, I had a classmate reach out to me. One time I had a classmate in a speech class listen to me as I talked about my faith being a huge component in my life. He reached out to me afterwards wanting to learn more, and I invited him to come to our Sunday night group. He visited around Halloween, and he was encouraged to see people living out their faith. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season how good it is. Proverbs 15:23. Number four, hairstyling. From a young age, I have liked styling hair. I would ask to brush my grandma's hair when I went to her house overnight. I would be asked to braid all my friends' hair and would constantly be washing, braiding, and styling my dolls. I didn't have sisters, so that was my only option. As I was thinking about going to school for business, I was also thinking about a career in hairstyling. I couldn't do cosmetology school until I was 18, so I decided to go to business school and then decide later. During my last year of business school, I researched good cosmetology schools in the area. I grew to love the vision of PCI Academy because of their business mindset. All throughout school, I worked my hardest to develop my skills and build my business. I listened to the instructors and did everything that they asked of me, going above and beyond. I would sometimes work 10 plus hours, technically illegal. I was only supposed to work 6 hours a day, and would ask to get my books opened some evenings so I could take some of my closer friends. I was seen as the star student. I wasn't hated, but I was seen as the favorite sweet girl who did everything right. I didn't love that title, but that's what they gave me. When I graduated, I had achieved the highest possible level, a level 4, for the cosmetology program. I also graduated 2 months early. That was the 10 hours a day kind of kicked in. Let's see. What was the coolest experience for me was all the opportunities to make much of Christ work in my life. I had conversations with the laundry lady, clients, front desk, classmates, and educators about my faith. I ended up praying with and for many of the people there. Educators would sit down with me and say, "Emma, you're hitting all your goals, you're going above and beyond, you work here more than anyone, you have integrity and honesty, and you're learning a lot. All your clients love you." I would respond with, "Solo Deo Gloria, to God be the glory." In Galatians 2:19-21, "It is not me, but it is Christ in me that you see." Around graduation, I saw the training program at Jute as much desirable. It was quite a commitment to train 6 months for hair cutting and then 6 months for coloring to specialize in both. My goal was to train there and stay with the company as long as I didn't have children. When I started here, I continued to push myself and go above and beyond. Number 5, farm work. Over the past 5 years, I have been working on a small farm over the summer and then weeks at a time over the winter. It was wonderful and flexible. I would listen to a sermon as I cleaned the stalls, and I would just praise the Lord as the sun was rising and setting. Truly beautiful and awesome. Through the years of working hard here, I was able to help Benji Stout get a job, along with my brothers and my friend Clara. I would even invite friends and bring kids I babysat to help me. We would chat about life, struggles, and praises. It turned out to be quite a wonderful job that reaped spiritual blessings. Benji is now taking equestrian classes at college. Will is able to help pay off his car, and Clara is saving for her wedding to my brother Austin. I'm so thankful that the Lord has blessed this job. Number 6, social butterfly. The most amazing and beautiful blessing that the Lord has given me is my love for meeting new people and fostering relationships with others. In 2020, this really sparked as I started a weekly volleyball gathering at the court near our house. Started with a few close friends. They brought their friends, who brought their siblings, who brought their friends. And over the years, it has grown to be the size of about 30 to 40 kids every week. My parents decided to offer a Bible study alongside volleyball since there were so many kids coming. The Bible study grew to be our church's new youth group, and we decided to start another group during the week for the older kids to dive more deeply into God's word. The most beautiful thing was seeing how the relationships with younger kids were growing and relationships with God were deepening. During this time as well, we housed many different kinds of people and learned to love them as learning to love them well was impactful for my faith. I also like to take credit for Wes meeting Solveig and Austin meeting Clara. I think the most important thing to realize is that you cannot copy anyone. We need to look at the place where God has put us, the time you're in, the people who are around us, and the resources that he supplies. Romans 12:6 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. In Ezekiel 34:11-16, the Lord gives a beautiful picture of how he places sheep in good pastures. The Lord will take care of us. It is good that we be moved so that the Lord can accomplish his work through us. In Matthew 19:16, we read about the parable of the rich young ruler. He obeys all the rules and to the far extent that he thinks is enough. But what he doesn't see is that possessions are holding him back from following Jesus. His treasures were here on earth, and Luke 14:33 says, those who do not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Where has the Lord given you talents? Where has the Lord asked of your faithfulness to step out of your comfort zone and be movable by his will? Where have you fought to not adjust or be creative when things could be better? What areas do you feel you're not okay sacrificing for the sake of God's plan? I'm not talking about sins that need to be removed. I'm talking about gifts and abilities, resources and time, people and influences, situations and changes. Where have you seen or neglected to see that God has given you things and you're not willing to taste? Her efforts. Industrious means diligent and hardworking, and diligent means having or showing care and conscientiousness in one's work or duties. Yes, I had to practice saying that word. Right now, my desire is to be a reach-from-home mom. I desire for the Lord to use my family to impact the church in whatever capacity he may have. I desire for my children to learn the Lord's commands, be stewards of the word, and act out of grace. I desire to teach them all kinds of skills that can be used to build up the Lord's kingdom. I desire to train them to be thoughtful and intentional in everything they do, especially for the Lord. I also desire to have a little shed on my property where I have a little salon inside. In this little salon, I desire to sell a variety of things, hair products I trust, makeup from Mary Kay as a consultant, and my mom's hair ties with other small Christian business products. Little plug. I would also desire for 100% of my profits to be given to the Lord in whatever capacity he may have. I also have a desire to continue to teach piano lessons and offer biblical counseling. I would love to have an open door house policy where dinners are meant to be a blessing to others in whatever way the Lord allows. Joshua and I would love to use our house for Bible studies, housing for those in need, and as an example of what living for Christ can look like. We would love to have a little hobby farm where our kids would learn the importance of taking care of things unconditionally. In the same way, we see the Proverbs 31 woman plan. She prepares, she aspires, she tests the waters of new ideas to see what the Lord may do. She enhances the successful efforts and makes room for changes. Her lamp does not go out at night. The application here is not that we should be workaholics, never sleep, and just do better. No. Psalm 127:2, it is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. This is much better. She teaches us to prepare before the time has come. This lamp analogy is symbolic to the Matthew 25 parable of the 10 virgins. In this story, there is a foretelling of the bridegroom's return for the virgins, symbolizing the kingdom of heaven. 5 of the virgins brought oil in their lamps, and 5 did not. The 5 who did not take oil fell asleep and were not ready for the return of their bridegroom. The Lord did not allow them to come to the marriage feast, only the ones who were ready. In the same way, we must prepare. We must work hard to get oil that will last through the night. Think of hard times that we go through. That she would be diligent even when the work dies down. 2 Thessalonians 3:7 through 9. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked day and night, that we might not be a burden to any of you. This was not because we did not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. Wrapping up, as we look at the Proverbs 31 woman's perspective of God's gifts to her at a good time, we see the application. We need to be creative in whatever season God may have us in. There may be seasons of busyness and of rest, seasons of joy and of hurt, seasons of availability and being hemmed in. It is not sinful to go through these changes, but it is wrong to not be stewards of every season. Colossians 3:23. If we believe our work is a calling from God, we will work heartily as working for the Lord. There is nothing better or good than to find enjoyment in your toil, Ecclesiastes 2, 3, 8, etc. For there is a season for everything. Conclusion. So in all honesty here, my plan for life failed. I wouldn't have considered myself industrious now. I got married in May, which was wonderful. Most of you were there. I praise the Lord for his faithful work in our relationship. Right now, I'm 17 weeks pregnant, and the Lord is teaching me so much. 'Tis the season to search the scriptures. Though I should be doing this all the time, I find myself really pressing and leaning into what the Lord would have for me. I've been pretty sick these past 3.5 months, and as a result, had to quit my farm job. Changes like teaching and salon work have impacted me. I lost and am losing a lot of students due. Sorry. Due to this move we have upcoming in January. I can't see the words. Also, due to this move, my position at Jute was terminated back in March. I said I didn't want to continue training someone who wasn't going to stay with them. I'm renting in Waconia, but with the rough morning sickness, I work way less. About 1/3 of the time I was planning on. I never cried like this. Discouragement started to overwhelm me as I fell behind in housework. Living in the basement of my parents' house has been a huge blessing, but on the days that I couldn't get out of bed, I cried and cried in depression of my inabilities and no sunlight. Joshua would come home some days just to see me weep, as I would tell him nothing was accomplished today, and I don't think I can do anything besides lay here. My confidence disappeared as I wondered what I could possibly talk about today. But the Lord didn't leave me in this. Instead, I prayed, show me how in this season I can be better. Show me how I can be faithful even with a little. This reminds me of Ecclesiastes. Ironically, this somewhat depressing book follows Proverbs 31. But these truths are paired with Proverbs. These truths paired with Proverbs are a blessing to me. There's a season for everything, and in every season we are called to do good, to lean into God's help and faithfulness, for he is better. He is better than the number of boxes we check off. For he is the one we taste and see that he is good. We toil because the Lord has given us resources to toil. We trust in times of stillness, for it is the Lord who provides help. Better good is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and striving after wind. Ecclesiastes 4:6. We keep our eyes fixed on heaven and pleasures at his feet, for he makes everything beautiful in its time. We should never see our weakness as a disadvantage, but always see trusting and leaning into God as our biggest strength. The Proverbs 31 woman does not do this alone, and it is because she is walking in wisdom toward God that the works of her hand are blessed. 2 Timothy 2:1 through 7. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And then if you would turn your Bibles to Psalm 119, 33 through 40. So Psalm 119, 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it till the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. I was debating whether to sing this or say this. I'll let you guys vote. I have the song on here, I Surrender All. Should we sing it or should I say it? Okay. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. All to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly ever.